in the house of God this morning. The one who established the church is our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We say that we love Him, but we're doing a study on Wednesday night. A step-by-step worship and study on the life of Christ. We're going through the Gospels. And where Matthew doesn't write about a certain event, John will, and we go to John. And where John doesn't write about an event, we'll talk about. We are going step by step through the life of Christ. We're not even halfway through, and we've already gone through 66 lessons, Mark. Not even halfway through. You're invited. Now, 2 weeks ago, I just taught like I normally taught, and afterwards, Mark came. I mean, I thought he was going to, you know, hit me in the head. I said, "You got to preach that on Sunday. You got to preach that on Sunday morning." Angie, you got to preach that on Sunday morning. And I was like, "Are you going to preach that this Sunday morning?" And I said, "No. Why not?" So this morning, you are going to get the message that we heard 2 Wednesday nights ago. So turn in your Bibles to the book of John, as I said a few minutes ago, chapter 6. And as we always do on Wednesday nights, just to give you a little taste of what we do, I want you to understand this morning that we do an in-depth Bible study on Wednesday night. This is not for the faint of heart, and this ain't for a bunch of sissies. And if you think you know it all, won't you just come on a Wednesday night? Isn't that right, Pat? Pat, how many books are there in the Bible? 66. 66. Pat, we're still doing it every week. 66. Desi, how many are in the Old Testament? How many are in the New Testament? 27. 3 times 9 is 27. If you can remember, there's 39 in the Old Testament. 3 times 9 is what? 27. That's exactly right. There's 2 hemispheres in the Word of God. What are they? Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament is a covenant or an agreement. That's what testament means, a covenant or an agreement under what? The law. That's exactly right. The New Testament is a covenant or an agreement under grace. That's right. So where law couldn't fulfill, grace fulfilled. Amen? Where law could take us so far, grace picked up and took us the rest of the way. Amen? Now, Wednesday night crowd, I've told y'all, if you hold your ear up to the Old Testament, it says something to you. What does it say? Return to me. All throughout the Old Testament, God is calling His people back to Himself. Mark, they're doing this right here. Boom, boom. Spiritual highs, spiritual lows. They'll follow God for a short period of time, especially the book of Judges. They'll follow God for a short period of time, and then they'll go back to their idols. They'll follow God. Y'all wonder sometimes, why in the world did God have them walking through the wilderness for 40 years? It wasn't to make them more righteous. It was to get all those idols out of them, and it still didn't work completely. So you hold your Bible, your Old Testament, up to your ear, and if it could talk to you, it would say, return to me. Return to me. Incidentally, it can talk to you. Amen? Hey, listen, if you don't pick your Bible up, you ain't going to hear from God. I don't hear from God. Well, read your Bible. This is Wednesday night crowd, okay? All right? This isn't Sunday morning. This is Wednesday night. You want to hear from God? Read your Bible. I don't know where my Bible is. That is not my fault, and it's not God's fault. If you hold your Bible, your New Testament, up to your ear, if it could talk to you, and Bryce, it does, what does the New Testament say to you? Follow me. Old Testament would say, return to me. New Testament says, follow me. Follow who? Jesus. That's exactly right. Now you close your Bible. Don't keep it closed long, okay? And you hold the closed Bible up to your ear. What does it say to you? Remember. Remember, because we are a group of people, Gary, that forget so quickly, don't we? We forget the blessings that God has given us. We forget Romans chapter 1, verse 20, where God reveals Himself how often? Daily to us. We forget how often God blesses us. And we don't even call God's blessings, blessings anymore. Well, Ed, you know, I've worked hard and you know, I've earned this position. No, you didn't. Who do you think gave you the ability to do what you do, how you do? That last breath that you just took, where do you think you got the strength to draw that last breath? Listen, even our atheist friends who think they have science explain to me how your heart started beating. There's nothing inside a woman's womb that can give a static electricity charge to start that baby's heart. Nothing. You know why your heart's beating today? Because God allows it to beat. That's a blessing. Amen? All right, now Wednesday night, y'all going to have to help me. These Sunday morning people, they're not sure of this Wednesday night thing yet, okay? So, just to get you in the scheme of things, the message that I taught prior to this message, we were studying that Jesus was still teaching his apostles to stand on their own two feet, preparing them for a time when he was no longer going to be with them. It was shortcoming. We're right in the middle, y'all, so he's preparing them. We learned that when Jesus came to town, things happened. Y'all study that? When Jesus comes to town, every town he comes to, things are happening. People aren't, I've got to go to church. Hey, listen, when Jesus comes to town, people are excited. Listen, people stopped everything they were doing, and ministry was about the most important thing that was going to take place. We learned that when Jesus came to town, that no one needed to publicize his coming. Did they? When Jesus came to town, everybody knew. The people recognized him for what he had done. Church, we learned that when Jesus came to town, people accepted change without question, and people's lives were changed. Scripture tells us that people were not just healed and saved, they were made whole. Whole. That's my Jesus. You know, Jesus doesn't halfway do anything like us. Y'all ever notice that? When Jesus comes to town and people come to him, he makes them whole. Church, when Jesus comes to town, Christians act like Christians. That kind of hurt, didn't it? When Jesus comes to town, Christians act like Christians. Today, we're going to see what happens when people question God one too many times. You ever question God? God, why is this happening to me? Why did you allow this to happen? Why am I going through this? Why am I tormented? Why can't I hear you? Why can't I see you? Why can't I feel you? Why can't I touch you? This morning, we're going to see what happens when people question God one too many times. Y'all ready? John chapter 6. I've got a whole bunch of reading, and Amy hates it when I have to read this much. Y'all pray for me and pray for Amy, okay? John chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 22. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea knew there had been only one boat. They also knew that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. Some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Notice, Jesus does not answer their question. Their question was, "Jesus, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, you're not looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him." Now I'm going to hold my finger right there for a second. Understand something, church. Every time you question God, every time you want to point the finger at God, God knows the question before you ask it. He knows the finger before you point it. And he has an answer before you ask your question. That's God. But why do you ask these questions? Well, let's find out. verse 28. These people, these disciples were saying, now hold on a second, let me ask you, how many disciples were there? Hundreds. Thousands of disciples. How many apostles were there? 12. Now, were the apostles called disciples? Yes. Were all the disciples called apostles? No. So, I don't want to confuse you. There were thousands of disciples and 12 apostles. Okay, verse 28. What can we do to perform the works of God? The disciples asked. Jesus replied, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one He has sent. Why would Jesus be saying that? Because there were still many disciples who still didn't believe that Jesus was who He said He was. They were followers. That's what a disciple is, a follower of Christ. They followed Him, but they didn't believe who he said He was. They came to see the magic show. They wanted to see the tricks that Jesus was doing. But did they believe that He was the Son of God? Brother Kyle, I just can't believe you'd say something like that. I didn't. Jesus just did. Verse 30. Listen to what they ask for. Ask if this sounds like our culture today. What sign then are you going to do so we may see and believe? See and believe. See, that's what we... Seeing is believing, right? You have to see to actually believe. Jesus has just about had enough. That we may see and believe, they ask. What are you going to perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus is getting fed up, y'all. Listen. Jesus said unto them, I assure you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, guys. I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. And the one who believes in me will never be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, but yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and everyone who comes to me will never be cast out. Y'all underline that in your Bibles. I told my Wednesday night class to do that. You know, there's some people, and they're good people, but they're just scripturally ignorant. They tell you, listen, you better not sin, because every time you sin, you lose your salvation. Well, what did Jesus do? Now, Jesus said, Tony, did the Southern Baptist say this? Did the Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of God, Catholics, they didn't say this. Jesus said this. He says, and the ones who comes to me, I will, what's that word? Never. Never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, this isn't my will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose none of those that He has given to me. But, let me get my Bible straight. But should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of the Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life. And I will raise him up in the last day. Now, it's getting ready to get real, church. Therefore, the Jews started complaining about him. You don't hear any complaining in the church, do you? Because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus understood and listened to what they were saying even before they said it. Jesus answered them, stop complaining among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to and learned from the Father's comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. I assure you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. They're dead. They're gone. You lifted them up a few minutes ago. Listen, they're dead. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I don't know what kind of bread you want to eat, but that's the kind of bread I want to eat. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone came down from heaven, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, it's getting ready to get real, real now. At that, the Jews argued among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? This is the world's interpretation of what Jesus is saying. Can I tell you, can I explain to you today that our world is in turbulence right now? Our culture is in turbulence right now? We're calling wrong, right, and wrong, right, and wrong for one reason. Our interpretation of what Jesus said is all messed up. Verse 53. Can you hear the frustration in Jesus' voice? He's already told them twice. Have you ever talked to somebody and you've tried to explain something to somebody? Don't stick your hand in the lawnmower blade. Where's Mr. Crawford? When the engine is on, do not stick your hand in the hole. And sometimes you might even do this right here. Do not stick your hand in the hole when the blade is turning. I mean, you and brother, if that doesn't work, you try to draw them a picture. You get up there and say, you do. Is that what you did, Mr. Crawford? Amen. This is what Jesus is doing. He's like, listen, y'all don't get this. Listen to what I'm saying here. Let me find my place here. Verse 53. So Jesus said unto them, and John, he could have put again right here. And Jesus said unto them, I assure you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, because my flesh is the real food and my blood is the real drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because the Father also, the one who feeds on me, will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna of your fathers ate, boys, and they died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. Now, he's not talking about his body. See, their interpretations are all messed up. What's he talking about, church? He's talking about the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the truth of the word. But they still wouldn't believe. You know why they wouldn't believe the word of God? Verse 59. There's more? Yeah. He said all these things teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is too hard. Who can accept it? Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? Then what if you observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. You're following the flesh. You're not listening to my words. But there were some among who still wouldn't believe. Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father." From that moment, many of his disciples turned back and no longer accompanied him. They left. Therefore, Jesus said to the 12. The 12 were who? The apostles. "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Simon Peter answered, "Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life." Peter's starting to get it. Now, he's going to fall here in a little while, but Peter's starting to get it, isn't he? "You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus replied to them, "Didn't I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is the devil." He was referring to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, the one of the 12, because he was going to betray him. Now let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins right now. God, I pray that you would still us, open our minds. God, help us to see what you're saying here this morning, that we might be greater creatures when we walk through these doors here in a few minutes to serve you. You created each and every one of us from the tops of our heads to the tips of our shoes to serve you and serve. There's no other reason we're alive, God, but to serve you. Help us, Lord, this morning to see our place, see where we are, see where we need to be, and fall back in love and worship you. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, first thing I want you to do is see that there were people who were searching for Jesus. Did y'all see that at the very beginning? I mean, I know that was a long time ago. That was like 20 minutes ago when I first started reading. But there were people who were searching for Jesus. Searching for him. Now, I've known people of this world to be searching for Jesus for many different reasons. Some might have health reasons. Some might be for money reasons. Many should come for mental reasons. Y'all with me? Many people ought to come to Jesus because of mental reasons, but church, very seldom do I ever hear of someone in perfect physical condition voluntarily coming to Jesus on their own. Well, I'm an athlete. I'm in great physical condition. Nothing's happened to me. I think I'll go find Jesus. You very seldom do you ever see that ever happening. Does it happen? Well, I'm sure it happens from time to time, but very seldom ever do you really see it happening. Listen, we all had some reason for coming to Jesus when we came. My reason was most likely very different than yours, but we all had a reason for searching. Listen, mine was I had an empty spot that I couldn't fill. Now, mind you, I tried to fill it with anything and everything that I thought would fit in that hole. Y'all remember that little round sphere globe-looking thing that we had when we were in kindergarten? And it had different shapes around, and it was red and blue. Y'all remember? And it had the little pull things at the top. You pull the little things together, and you drop. I've got one of those somewhere, don't I? Still play with it. And it has circles and triangles and squares and rectangles and crosses and all. And you pull it apart, and you put all the pieces on the ground, and you very quickly, as fast as you can, you try to put the pieces where they belong, and they slide back into the globe. You see, I had a spot missing in my heart. And listen, Bill, I tried to fill it with everything that I possibly could to fill it, and it never got full. Can I explain to you why? Because I was trying to fill it with something that didn't belong there. I tried alcohol. I tried having, you know, good friends, wonderful friends. I tried everything this world had to offer, and it still left that void there, Mark. Do you know why? Because the void can only be filled with one thing, and that's Jesus, the truth that he's talking about here. You can try your whole life to fill that void, and it'll never, ever, ever be filled unless you allow Jesus to fill it. Never. Before this morning, Jesus had not publicly addressed the reason why most were coming to him. We had done 66 lessons, and we saw all these people coming to Jesus. Jesus hadn't addressed why they were coming to him, But church, that just changed. Most people come to Christ because of a physical need. And when that need is met, they no longer abide in Christ. Jesus tells the people tonight, straightforward, the reason they have come to Him. Look at verse 26. Look at verse 26. Verse 26 says, Jesus answered, I assure you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, not because of what I did, but because you ate the loaves and you were filled. Now, yesterday afternoon, I grilled. And we sat down and we ate. Me and Amy, my two boys. And y'all, I'm going to be honest. Since my dad died, I'm still having problems sleeping. About 1 o'clock this morning, I still full. I probably could have eaten a peanut or something, but I was still full. Kyle and Alex, before they went to bed, they had just about another meal. Gary's smiling. You know how I feel, don't you, brother? Since Alex has come home, we are going through a gallon of milk about every other day. They're never full. Do you realize that something wants to fill that void? God can fill that void if we'll let Him. If we don't, that void is going to be full and we're always going to be craving more and more and more. Most people came to Jesus Christ because of physical needs. And when that need is met, they no longer abide in Christ. Jesus tells the people tonight, straightforward, the reason they've come. They've come for physical nourishment, not for spiritual. Do you reckon that hit them between the eyes pretty hard? Listen to me. Why did you come here this morning? Why? Did you come because, well, I always come to church on Sunday morning. I always come. Did you come for physical food or did you come for spiritual food? Did you come this morning expecting that you were going to hear something that was going to change your spiritual walk, help you to be a greater Christian, and serve your community in a greater way? That's why God created you, for spiritual food. Is that why you came? Church, many have searched for the same Jesus as we all search for. Listen to this. Everyone who searches for Jesus finds Him. Do you hear me? Every person who searches for Jesus finds Him. Jesus always meets their need. But only those who are seeking to be made whole are ever totally satisfied with Jesus. Well, you know, I have this ailment and I want Jesus to heal it. Jesus heals it. They're not satisfied. What happens usually? Gone. Exactly. Next time something arises, I'll come back. I am financially strapped. I don't know what to do. I'm going to go to church. Jesus, I need your help. Yeah, I know you need my help. I've seen where you spend. Hey, listen, God, I need your help. Can you help me? Yeah, I'll help you. I'll put you on the right track. God puts them on the right track. What happens? Poof. They're gone. Jesus, I need some answers. Well, I'll give you the answers. Won't you get in the Word? Well, I'll get in the Word. They get in the Word. They find their answers. Bob, they get stable, and guess what happens? Poof, they're gone. Only those who are seeking to be made whole will ever be satisfied with Jesus. Do you hear me? I don't want partial Christianity. I don't want that. I'm not satisfied with partial Christianity. I want it all. I want the whole deal. I don't want to just be satisfied temporarily. I want Jesus to be in me, with me, through me. I want to be with Him 24/7. And listen, church, that's what He's talking about. Unless you come seeking to be made whole, you're never going to be satisfied with Jesus. Listen, that's why most Sunday morning Christians aren't satisfied with Jesus, because you don't come to be made whole. You want Jesus to just fix what you want Him to fix and not fix it all. So we have people who were seeking Jesus. Y'all saw that, right? They were looking for him, and they found him. Glenn, I don't think they liked what he had to say initially. Let's look now at what happens when people are not satisfied with Jesus. And that's seen in verse 26 through 66. Jesus will tell them through the Holy Spirit exactly why they have sought him out. God has always revealed himself to every person in the world. For God so loved the that he gave his only begotten, that what? Whosoever. That's everybody. God has revealed himself to every person in the world. He has drawn them to himself. He has called us in the New Testament, return to me. Come back to me. When they choose to come to him, and how they present themselves to him will make all the difference in the world. Let me say that again. He has drawn every person unto themselves. When they choose, when they finally choose, Maggie, when they finally get it, when they finally decide, I'm going to come to Jesus, how they present themselves to him will make all the difference in the world. You see how these guys brought themselves or presented themselves to Jesus? Hold on a second. Here, hold on a second. You telling me all this stuff? Hold on. You're just Joseph and Mary's kid. You're telling me I have to do this, 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 and this? Why in the, that's too hard. Church, I don't know about you, but the more I study, the more I get into God's Word, the more I pray. And listen, I don't study nearly as much as I ought to. Preacher confessing. I don't pray nearly as much as I need to. Does anybody? But the more I pray, the more I study, the more I realize that I am dysfunctional. Listen, I need more. I don't need less. I need to be in church more. I don't need to be in church less. I need to study more, pray more, do more. Listen, witness more every single day. I'm not better. I'm worse. When I do, the more I do, realize the more I need to do. Church, how you present yourself to Jesus will make all the difference in the world. If you come to Jesus and you admit to him, Lord, I'm messed up. I need you to help me to understand this. He will. But if you come to him and say, well, you know, God, our culture is different. I don't want to accept this, and I want to do this, and I want to continue to do this, but can you help me with this aspect? Can you help me financially without bothering me about anything else? Jesus is going to say, no, I'm not interested. If you want him to fix all of you, he'll fix all of you. How you present yourself makes all the difference in the world, church. Listen, there doesn't have to be, but when people question God, there will be spiritual confrontation. With the total truth being revealed, when the truth is revealed, people will either accept the truth or make excuses for not accepting the truth. When you come to Jesus, Jesus is God. Jesus, please open my eyes and show me what's right and what's wrong. Jesus, open my eyes. Open my eyes and show me what I need to do. Jesus, show me the way, show me the steps. Scripture says Jesus is faithful to do that. There's never been a time in my life where when I've asked Jesus, show me what I need to do, that Jesus hasn't shown me what I need to do. Now, Tony, I'm going to be honest here. There's times when I've asked Jesus, show me what I need to do, and he's shown me what I need to do. I didn't like it. But can I tell you something? It's always lined up with Scripture. It's not lined up with my will. What do you mean, Brother Kyle? This life isn't about getting my way. This life is about serving God. As I've told every single Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, God is not interested in our opinions. He could care less what our opinions are. His Word is alive and anew and afresh, and it speaks to us every single day. But if your Bible's closed, you're not going to hear from God. Are you, Brother Frank? Got to move on. Listen, what happens when people aren't satisfied with Jesus? Thirdly, people do not accept the truth. who will not accept the truth will use the world standards to measure all spiritual matters. Getting ready to get real, isn't it? Did y'all hear what I just said? Listen to it again. People who will not accept the truth of Jesus and what Jesus said will use the world standards to measure all spiritual matters. The people tonight or this morning tried to use the Moses is leading the Hebrew children as the spiritual standard, and Christ said, not so. They looked at Jesus and said, hold on a second, Jesus, you're saying, whoa, you're saying that we need to follow you because you are the, yes, I am. He said, well, hold on a second. We Moses, our forefather, he fed us manna in heaven. Jesus said, hold on a second. Moses didn't give you that manna. My God gave you that manna. That bread that they ate, they died. You want some of that? You want me to give you a miracle that's going to continue to make you die? Listen, I am the bread of life. If you will eat of me, if you will believe in me, I will give you something that you will never die. That's a good deal. This will die. This will kill you. This you'll live forever. And you know, they still didn't choose it. Got to move on. Church, those who do not seek out Christ for the right reasons will not ever be satisfied. They will always want one more sign as proof that He is the real and true Messiah. Even today. Look at verse 30. They said, what sign are you going to do that we may see and believe you? They asked. What are you going to perform? What are you going to do? See, they're still wanting to see the magic show. They're still wanting to see Jesus do what He's always done. Church, listen. Those who seek out Jesus for the right reasons, for the wrong reasons, they'll never be satisfied. They will always want one more sign as proof as to who He really is. Now it's getting ready to get real. Those who are not satisfied with Jesus will always, listen to me, listen. If you're not satisfied with Jesus, every person from the creation of the world this belongs to, those who are not satisfied with Jesus will always leave searching for what they believe is the truth. Never to find the real truth that only abides in Christ alone. But they're always searching for the truth. Well, this is what I believe is true. Well, this is what I believe is true. This is what I believe is true. This is what I believe is true. And they're in a corporate mess. Listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Listen, you can tell yourself there's many ways to God from the time you're born to the time you die, but it's not what the Word of God says. There is but one way, and that is God's way. That is Christ's way. That is Jesus' truth. That is God's truth. There is no other way. There is no other truth. You can tell yourself, from now on, listen, I'm going to search for the truth. You're always going to be in turmoil. You'll never find the truth apart from Jesus Christ. Never. Stop searching. He's here. You found Him. There's one other thing people who aren't satisfied with Jesus. Pay attention. Do. Look at verse 41 and verse 42. Now remember, those who are not satisfied with Jesus do this. Therefore the Jews started complaining about Him because He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. If you're not satisfied with Jesus, all you're going to do is complain. Listen, you just don't know what He did. You don't know what He said. He hurt my feelings. Well, you're going, listen, if you're not satisfied with Jesus, you're going to walk around with hurt feelings 24 hours a day, 7 days. You're going to nitpick. You're going to find things to complain about, worry about, be upset about. Listen, if Jesus is all you need, everything that happens in your life, you know who you're going to bring it to? Jesus. And when Jesus, you pray to Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't understand this. Jesus says, listen, it's happened to me my whole life. Don't let it bother you. There's never been a time where I've been worried or upset with something that's happened to me, and I brought it to Jesus, that Jesus said, don't worry about it. It's all right. Just keep on going. Blessed are you when men hate you and revile me, you, and cast your name out for evil for my name's sake. Not for your name's sake, but for Christ's name's sake. Just about done. Verse 67 through 71, something unusual happens. And I'm not going to take time to read it, but his apostles now start to question. Or Jesus questions his apostles. Now, let's just look at verse 67 real quick. Verse 67, therefore Jesus said unto the 12, you don't want to go away too, do you? Remember, Jesus had just made all this proclamation, and a lot of his disciples left him. Jesus went to a room with the 12, and he questioned them personally. He says, you don't want to leave now too, do you? Are you going to leave? How would you answer this question Jesus was asking in verse 67? This is a hard thing. The reason many people leave is they won't accept the truth. They won't believe that Jesus is the truth, the only way. Well, hold on a second. You know, Jesus, that was 2,000 years ago. Everything that he said still applies today. Everything. Everything that's in the Word of God applies today. Well, you know, Paul had more to say than Jesus. Should we listen to Paul? Listen, this is the inspired and errant Word of God. I didn't blend this together. God brought this together, and it makes perfect sense. If you don't want to believe it, you're not going to believe it. You're going to search and search it. It's the truth of who God is. How would you answer the question Jesus is asking? What do your actions show how you've answered this question? Will you now leave me? What do your actions show about who you believe Jesus really is? There's only two ways any of us can answer the same question Jesus was asking the apostles. Number one, you'll either today or at some later day walk away from Jesus, not satisfied. And basically what you're saying was Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. If you walk away from Jesus, you walk away from the truth, not satisfied. Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. Can I tell you, in the history of all Christianity, there have been more people who've walked away from him than there have been stayed with him. Do you know why? They're not satisfied. They want more. They want more. They want more. They're not satisfied with who Jesus is. So they leave, seeking satisfaction in every way they possibly can find. Number two, Secondly, you will, by faith, accept Christ for who he is and faithfully follow him for the rest of your life. Those are only two things you can do. There's no in between. You're either going to remove yourself from Jesus, not satisfied with who he is and what the Word of God says you're supposed to be. Leave. You can't accept part of the truth. You have to accept all of the truth. Or you're going to faithfully serve him. Church, we desperately need a group of people to be totally sold out to Jesus because of who he is and not because what he can offer. Well, I'm going to come to Jesus when I have a need. I'm sure you will, but why don't you come to him for who he is? He's the Son of God. He's everything the Word of God said He was. Brother Kyle, can you prove that? Listen, number one, you're just like the disciples asking for one more sign, asking me to prove it. But yes, I can. Listen, I was a liar, a cheat, a thief. I was a whoremonger. I was a bad person. Listen, Jesus changed my life when I came to Him. Church, we desperately need a group of people to totally fall in love with Jesus for who He is. Now, please notice in our lesson this morning that Jesus did not leave the people. The people left Jesus. Jesus did not leave them. They left Jesus. Jesus loves you so much that He'll never leave you. There was a time after I accepted Christ as my personal Savior that I still had a lot of questions. And I hate when people do this, but I'm going to do it. My friends drew me back to their crowd, and I fell back in for them a little while. Hey, listen, I knew what I was doing was wrong. Nobody had to tap me on the shoulder. I didn't have to read the Scripture to know what I was doing wrong. Listen, God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God told me what I was doing was wrong. I knew what I was doing was wrong. Why? Because I had been subjected to the truth. Listen to me. Once you're subjected to the truth's never going to leave you wrong. It's always, listen, just like the Old Testament, it's always going to draw you back to itself. Return to me. Return to me. Return to me. You know what you're doing's wrong. After you subject yourself to the truth, you're always going to hear that still small voice of Jesus saying, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. When you subject yourself to the truth, listen, you're always, always, when you're about to make a decision, when you're about to make a decision, that voice that you hear when you're holding up to the Bible, it's going to say, remember. Remember, you're not alone. The question is this morning, are you following Him or have you left Him? Your actions tell the story. Who you really are tells your own story. Have you left Him or are you following Him? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would move this morning. Not because of me, not because of me preaching this message. God, because of who You are. Because of who You are, You're the Son of God. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. There is no greater than You, God. You are the truth. You are the way. You are the life. There's no other who can exist, who can make people exist and love You the way You do. God, move. Let Your Spirit move this morning. Let us see ourselves for who we really are. Have we removed ourselves from You and the truth, seeking the world? Or God, are we following You? Let us respond accordingly, Lord. As the music plays and your heads bowed and our eyes closed, the altar's open. As you look at your life, what does your life testimony say you are? Have you removed yourself from the love of God? Or are you following Him? The altar's open. Do you need to come?